We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
What is going on, everybody? Finally, Ice and I are back, having issues with my work travel. I'm traveling to Florida every single week, Sunday through Thursday. Really tough timing with the WNBA playoffs, but we advance. Ice moved into a new apartment, working all over the place, can find her everywhere. And what better way to come back after a few weeks of a break with an incredible guest, Midwest legend, once called the hardest working senior in America by the great Kim Barnes Orrico, Atlanta Dream forward Naz Hillman. Naz, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm super excited.
Excited to talk with Ice and I. We love that. Love that energy. So, Naz, just completed your second year in the W. I remember meeting you around the WNBA draft, energy was super high. I feel like Atlanta got a gem of not only a player, but a human being. 2 years with Atlanta, what can you say about just the growth of the culture of the team and just kind of the energy around the city and joy for the season that the Atlanta Dream had?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I can't talk up Atlanta enough. Obviously, kind of coming in, I felt like when I got there, everybody was rookies at that point in terms of the coaching staff, you know, the ownership. So it's just really Atlanta's turned its tide, and I feel like everybody's kind of noticing that now and you know, really talking about it a lot. But, I mean, from the outside, it may look a certain way, but it looks the same on the inside. A really good culture, like you talked about. Coach T came in, and you know, the first day we met as a team, she put in her vision into us, and from the jump, it's like, this is how we're going to do things around here. You know, if you don't like it, or if you don't want to be a part of it, you're free to walk out the door, but this is how it's going to be. And, you know, we're going to have fun while we're doing it. And that's been exactly what it has been, you know, these 2 years. And it's just been so special. Obviously before looking in and seeing, you know, what Atlanta was about, and now just how different it is, and being able to be a part of the growth, whether that's culturally or just, you know, wins and losses. And we've had, you know, much more success in the wins and loss category, and, you know, making playoffs for the first time in 5 years was super special. And, you know, to be able to do it with such a team that I really, really enjoy, and they feel like family, was, I mean, everything that I could think of and dream of. Obviously, you know, wish we went farther, but this is a stepping stone for us. And I mean, the energy in Atlanta is just amazing. I mean, just seeing some of, you know, driving on the highway and seeing some billboards, you know, when we clinched, that was amazing. And just sometimes seeing people in the store and how excited they were for us when we were about to head out to playoffs. But I mean, just the energy inside of the arena is unmatched. I mean, maybe I'm biased, but I feel like we have the best arena experience in the league. And that just shows how much Atlanta just backs, you know, our team, and, you know, how excited they are that we've just really changed the tides and the culture and the atmosphere. And, you know, we're hoping to continue to build off of that.
I wanted to ask you about the energy in Atlanta, because I, a year ago, worked for the Connecticut Sun and we traveled on the road. So I got to experience a game day with you guys. Mm-hmm. I thought you guys in Phoenix were some of my favorite places to be. Just overall energy, experience, mm-hmm. fan engagement. But you guys had a record of sellout crowds this season in the W. And I think that speaks a lot about the culture that you're talking about in Atlanta. So what's it like just knowing that the fans are so bought in, that, you know, game in and game out, they're coming, they're packing the house, they're selling out crowds, and not even during playoff time, right? These are regular season games that you guys are selling out and build and creating records for.
Mm-hmm. It means a ton. It means the world, because it hadn't always been like that for Atlanta. But they continue to show up, and you know, we get to talk to fans sometimes, whether it's meet and greets or you see them out, whatever. And they're just like, it just brings me so much joy to come to these games. Like, we know how hard you guys are playing for us, and we want to continue to back you and support you in any way that we can. And I mean, it just hits different when you know, like, people are saying that they're driving 2 hours, you know, every game day to come and watch us play. And you just want to give a different type of energy, you know, to those fans. And, you know, it's one thing for them to come out, but it's another thing for them to come out and cheer as loud as they do and for as long as they do, you know, whether, you know, we're up 20 or down 20, just really always giving their energy. And it just, it makes a difference. It feels like you're playing for, you know, someone other than yourself. And that's exactly what the feel is in Atlanta. You know, I feel like our in-host personality and game personality definitely helps with that. She's awesome, Bria. But it makes a world of difference when you're playing for something or someone other than yourself. And that's what the Atlanta fan base is all about.
Y'all have too many likable players. As a as a New York Liberty fan, seeing how much fun and, like, how much y'all like each other just on social media, mm-hmm. and just watching y'all on the bench, the game y'all beat New York in New York, like, incredible game. I was there. I felt it the minute I walked in. I saw everybody warming up and just everyone felt extremely in sync. I mean, I think Haley was starting that game because I guess D-Rob was out hurt, but just talk about the ceiling that you feel your team had this year. I mean, you were right up there. You had close games with, you know, the Aces, who are in the WNBA finals, and you beat the Liberty, came pretty close the second time in New York. Won't talk about what happened at home against the Liberty. Don't need to discuss that, but no. Just talk about the potential that you see, you know, 2 years in, you added some new pieces, everyone's gelling well and learning Tanisha's system.
Mm-hmm. I'm super excited for the future. I feel like, you know, we saw some of those glimpses, you know, whether it was against, you know, teams like New York and Vegas, but also we had that stretch where we, I want to say it was seven in a row. And, you know, I felt like we were playing some of our best basketball and we were just in sync. And obviously there's always growing pains, like you said, bunch of new, in the last 2 years, a lot of new players, but then even in this last year, a lot of new players, whether that's in the draft or, you know, free agency. So just finding ways to make sure that we are, you know, helping them to reach their fullest potential. And sometimes that's really hard to do in 1 year. I mean, obviously, I think people know by now that basketball is a lot about chemistry as much as it is about the X's and O's and the skill. So I feel like we found some of that, but I feel like as we continue to gel and we continue to grow together, we're going to find that more and more. But we definitely saw glimpses of, you know, individually people growing, but also as a collective. And I think it's really scary for other people when we continue to gel and grow and just, you know, expand on so many levels, but it'll also be, a joy to be a part of. And, you know, I'm super excited. Like you said, we have a lot of fun characters on this team, and they just make coming in every day so enjoyable that, you know, obviously when there's a grind or it's a tough day, they just make it a lot easier and it'll make it a lot lighter, especially, you know, when playing 40 games or however many games, sometimes, you know, you might walk in and it might be a difficult day. But, you know, just seeing some of those faces or you know, having a conversation with any of them, it makes a difference in the day.
Now, as you talked about individual growth, and so we have to talk about your individual growth. Just in your second year alone, your efficiency sparked up. You're top 10 in offense rebound percentage in the league per Hoop Stats. And I just wanted to really ask you, what was different about, you know, obviously getting another year under your belt in this tough league is nice, but what did you really focus on and how were you able to take your game to the next level this season?
Yeah, you know, I feel like I had a very unique opportunity my rookie year, being able to get some minutes. We had a lot of injuries, you know, my rookie season. So I was kind of thrown into the fire, which, you know, I felt like was a huge help for me because I was able to get a little bit of that experience and go into my second year knowing exactly, you know, what Coach T wants, what this league looks like, what it looks like playing against some of the best players, you know, in the world, and finding out, you know, what can I do to affect the game and what can I do to help my teammates win? And offensive rebounding was a big thing that I felt like, you know, it just makes a difference whether I'm getting, you know, the offensive rebounds to score or to kick out to, you know, my sharpshooters. So just finding the little things, I think is really, really important for me. I mean, I'm an undersized player in my position, so I always have to figure out how to do the dirty work, how to do the little things. And for me this year, it was offensive rebounding and just trying to have extra possessions whenever I could. You know, everybody has their role, and sometimes that was my role, and I was okay. Actually, I was great with that being what it was, especially if it meant we were going to win the game because of, you know, the extra possessions we were able to take care of.
Yeah. Well, also, fours you learned from. I mean, yeah. The other four players that you have on your team are stellar. I talked to Monique Billings the other day. She was on a Stadium Network show that I did. Obviously, Cheyenne Parker had a career season, but what's it like just day in and day out in practice, you know, learning from those fours and maybe taking some things from their games? I think one of the best things we do as basketball players is we pick apart other people's games and we take little pieces when we can. What little pieces have you taken from either Mo or Cheyenne to get your game to the next level?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, they're both incredible vets to kind of look after. And I mean, those are two people I'm able to compete against in practice. So, you know, I'm going against people who are bigger than me, a little bit more experienced, and just trying to find ways to work around them. So it's like, you know, I know how hard they work. You know, we're talking about Cheyenne. She's one of the hardest working people, you know, that I know. She's always in the gym, always getting her extra reps. And, you know, just seeing how hard she works at her craft, you know, makes me want to be better, and makes me want to get into the gym. It makes me want to, you know, if I get an offensive rebound over her, like that make, you know, I'm feeling good because I know I'm making her work harder and I know I'm having to work hard for it. So just that energy that she brings or both of them really that they bring and a little bit of their knowledge. I feel like I'm always going back and forth with them of just, you know, when we have schemes, you know, how would you play this? What would you do, you know, from this perspective, even though obviously their perspective is a little bit different since they are bigger in terms of their size. They're not considered undersized. But Nia also helps me a lot, you know, mm-hmm. in that regard. She's undersized. But we both have very different skill sets. So we bounce stuff off of each other a lot. And I feel like just because they've been in the league so long, especially on the defensive side of things, I can always spitball, okay, this player, you know, this is what they do. How can I get around? How can I, you know, get a tip off this? You know, what hand are they going to the most? And, you know, where are you going to be at on the floor so that I can make sure I'm forcing, you know, them to you so I have a little bit more help side. So just the competitive aspect of being able to go up against them in practice, and knowing that we're making each other better, but also a lot of spitballing when it comes to scouts and, you know, trying to really game plan for the other team.
Dang. Nas, I do want to go back to you saying or talking about accepting the role you were asked to play. Because I can't imagine for, you know, most people to go from basically 90% of everything Michigan did your senior year. Like just how much they relied on you to do absolutely everything to basically shorten that up in the time, limited time you had in your first and second year on the court to give it your all and play that role. Incredibly humble. I know from my perspective, I wouldn't last. Just not me. But talk about, for us, I guess, what it's like the transition as a rookie to a, I mean, you're basically playing almost the same number of games depending on how far you go in March, but what is it like just practices in general, the schedule of like a real adult? You're not in college anymore. Mm-hmm. Don't have to go to classes necessarily. What is that transition in, just summarize for us?
Yeah. I mean, that transition is a lot. I'm not going to lie. And it gets tough, you know, at some points. I always tell people, like, it took me the entire year last year to be like, I'm the W. Like, this is what I do for a living. Like, it just took so long for it to hit for me that I was.
And
just
it happens
like,
right after like the season ends.
Because you get in a break. Yeah, you're just right. Yeah.
I mean, when I tell you it was a whirlwind, like, I mean, it was like straight from NCAAs, then it was basically the draft. Then like, I felt like what was 2 days later, I was already in Atlanta. Like I was still in school during training camp. Like I just, like, things were rolling. And then it was the condensed season. So it was just like, we're going with people. Like, we don't have time to be thinking about whatever it is. Like, you just in the moment. And as much as I felt like I was in the moment at that time, it really took until the end of the year, like probably the last week, where I was like, I do this for a living. Like, this is my life. This is my job. So, I mean, it's just an adjustment period. I mean, you talked about, you know, having to, you know, go from basically everything running through me at Michigan to being a role player. And again, like, that was a tough transition. But you know, funny enough, I talked to some of my old teammates from Michigan who played this role for us and were so good at it. You know, one of my best friends, Danielle Roush, and she was just like, you know, I had to find what we needed to be able to win games. She was a point guard. I had to make sure you got the ball. Like, that was my job. Like, and I was happy in doing that because I knew you were going to take care of it. And we were going to go on from there. And, you know, that's how I feel about my teammates now. Like, I'm going to do whatever I need to get us a win, because I know that collectively we're going to take care of it. We're going to get wins. And, you know, from there you just move on. But, you know, off the court, that transition of, you know, I have all this time on my hands. Like, I tell people now, like, if I had to go back and do it again, I couldn't. I don't know how I went to classes and was in class all day and then practice and then did study hall and a lift and had a social life and went to sleep. Like, I have no idea how I had that much time in the day. So right now I'm just really trying to make sure I have a schedule so that I have everything that I need. You know, every single day, and I'm prepared for every game and every practice. But it is a difference. It's a big jump, and you don't have anybody holding your hand. I mean, in college, they schedule you to a T. From the time you wake up to the time you go to bed, you have a schedule. And now you have your schedule from the time practice starts to the time practice ends, and maybe you'll have an engagement that you have to go to. So just filling that time, making sure you're doing what you need to do as a pro so that you can be your best self every day.
Mm. Naz, I want to talk about playoff basketball. You had such a great career in college. You guys went on an incredible run. You know what it's like NCAA-wise to get deep in tournament. And now you know what it's like to experience WNBA playoffs as well. What are just maybe the one or two main differences that you notice between playoff basketball, tournament basketball, college versus W?
Mm-hmm. I mean, the one, I feel like the biggest difference that I feel like everybody will know is, I mean, once you're in the W, you've played against all the teams that you're going to play, you know, in playoff time. Where in college, you might not have even seen the team that you're playing against. Like, you're like, I have no idea. So the game planning is a lot different. In the W, you know, you have, obviously you have all your scouts throughout the year. So you're like, okay, these are the things that worked for this team. These are the things that hasn't worked. And you're able to change based off that. while in college, you're like, like I said, you've never seen this team. You may not know some of the players. So it's like, I mean, you just have to kind of base it off of your skill set, your team skill set. And sometimes you have to, you know, really focus in on yourself and what you feel like you can do best against that team. But that's definitely a huge one. And I think just the physicality of it. Coach talked to us a lot. And even before playoffs start, you know, the couple weeks where people were fighting, teams were fighting for spots. She's like, this is playoff basketball right now. Like, people are fighting tooth and nail every moment for 40 minutes to try to either secure a spot in the playoffs or secure their seating so that they can go home and, you know, play at home for their first couple of games. So, I mean, while I feel like college physicality kind of turns up, but I mean, I feel like in the W, it just reaches another level that either you're prepared for it and you're throwing the punches first, or you're not and you're getting knocked down. So, you know, and I really did hold to heart what Coach C was saying about it wasn't just playoffs once we got there. It was those weeks leading up to where it was just a different caliber of basketball.
Love that.
Nas, like, incredibly well spoken, by the way. Like, I feel like every guest we bring on, I always feel a little bit, not a little bit, a lot lower than ice because of how professional she is. But I mean, I know you did some work with like Big Ten media stuff. Is there any chance for you to continue to do some type of work like that?
Yeah, I hope so. Obviously, well, I won't be able to do it this off season, but I hope to get back into it. I don't know if it'll be a long-term thing, but I definitely enjoy it. It gives me a different perspective, one that I you know, I can't play it. I can't be in a coaching role to have any hands-on. I just have to see the game and break it down, which I enjoy that kind of challenge of, you know, what's going on, even though I'm not in the locker room. So I'll probably pick it back up, just depending on when.
Love that. Hoping for it. Good segue into talking about what is coming up next for you.
Yeah.
Ice, you have experience in Australia. We're gonna have to give Nas some tips, food, everything, just big living
spiders.
Life.
Really big spiders. Really big spiders.
Okay, like, so
it's real. Like, I feel like everyone thinks it's a myth when you go over there, but when I tell you, Nas, like, I was playing in northwest coast of Tasmania. Okay. I got back earlier this year, in May, and my second night in the apartment, there was a spider behind like the wall heater that was like the size of my palm, probably bigger, probably like fingertip edge. And I just remember like seeing its legs out of the heater and like, I was like, oh, I think that's dirt. And then getting closer and it moved and I lost it. I completely lost my cool. So I would just say, yeah, like if you're, you know, animals are a real thing in Australia. Like, it's a real thing. You see things you've never seen before. Well,
it's good to prep. We don't want to scare. It's good to prep.
Well, now I'm like, all right, Jay, we might need a rep. We might need to tear up this contract. I don't know.
No. We don't want to talk like that. No. Not for Jade. No.
You're going to an amazing league. The fans are going to love you, but it's just the animals. Like, just every now and then, like, a little huntsman spider is not so little.
I've been hearing that. So like I said, I'm in Michigan and there's a couple of Australians here on the team. So I was asking them about it. They're like, no, it's not that bad. Like, everybody's dramatic. But I guess if you live there, you're like, this is
normal. Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah. Exactly. You become desensitized to it like we do police brutality, you know?
Oh,
great point.
That was a little dark. Sorry.
But Nas, can you talk about I guess we haven't really said it. Nas will be playing in the NWBL, one of the best leagues overseas in Australia, if you haven't caught on, for the Melbourne Boomers. Can you talk about the process of one, like, okay, I do want to go play overseas. Two, was Australia like a target country? Because, you know, it's a great league. It's a beautiful country. And then just the overall thought process of, wow, I'm about to be living across the world for an extended period of time in the off season.
Yeah. So just with the whole overseas things, I wanted to play overseas. I felt like it'd be a great opportunity for me just to get more experience. I've heard, you know, how great overseas in general has been in terms of people's growth, development over there. And I've also heard how great the Australian League is in terms of development, but I feel like it'd be great for me, especially, you know, as I am on the younger side, only in my second year, I want to get as much basketball under my belt as I possibly can. And then, you know, coaches reach out, and Australia wasn't a target league, but, you know, once I found out that they were interested, I was like, I mean, I've heard such great things, you know, about their league, their coaches, their style of play, which I felt like really, it puts me in a really good spot. Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, from there, it's just taken off. I haven't heard anything bad except for the spiders and snakes. So it was kind of a no-brainer, especially in my first year. I think it's, although it is far, which I feel like will be my toughest challenge, it's nice that it's still an English-speaking, I want to say country, but technically it's a continent in both. But and I don't have to, you know, walk through that barrier, which I, you know, I felt like, even though it's so far, that I have to kind of give or take one or the other, like, mm-hmm. we're going to be far or we're going to be somewhere where, you know, English isn't the primary language. But, you know, I felt like Australia is a sweet spot. Mm-hmm. terms of everything. Obviously, like I said, the distances and the time change is one of the biggest obstacles, but I'm excited. I'm really excited to get out there. I actually leave here pretty soon. And I'm trying to get all of my bearings together. And, you know, every so often I look at the clock and I'm like, okay, what time is it over there? Just so I can kind of get my mind right. And try to schedule my FaceTimes back home. So kind of breaking all that down, but super excited and, you know, all good things except for spiders and snakes.
Love that. Love that. I mean, you're going at a sweet time too. You got the Australian Open that's going to happen. I mean, check that out. It's like one of the coolest sporting events in the world. And it's
like,
it's their summer, right?
Yes, their summer. I've been talking to them. They're like, oh, you're coming at a beautiful time. Like, it's spring, summer. So I'm like, yes, I'm going to basically have a year full of summer, so I'm not mad at that. I'm probably gonna come back with an accent. It won't be good, but I'll come back with an accent. I'm almost sure of it. So it'll be good.
I would just say, just go sightseeing. I loved like doing natural sights, like just seeing reservoirs and like rainforests. Like, it's actual rainforest there. It's not the fake ones that we have, I feel like, here. But it's beautiful and the people are awesome. Like, everybody's so chill. It's a vibe. It's a really cool place to travel into like the continent. But I think you're going to love it. It is, though, you're right with the English speaking. Like, it is very much easy to feel like you can adapt to it. Mm-hmm. If you've been other places where, you know, English is not the language. So I definitely hear you on that, but I love my experience. I did not want to leave. And the beaches are amazing. So yeah, if you're a beach bum too, like, find a beach in Melbourne. You will be near water. I flew into Melbourne, so you're gonna love it. Like, it was a vibe. I did not want to come back. I did not want to come home. Ask Dano. I was like, oh.
Yeah, it's great to see you again. I want to make a commitment on the pod. The minute we get a photo of Nas holding a koala bear, I will make it my Twitter profile picture. Absolutely. Right.
Okay. Let me write this down.
Yes. Are we sure we're doing that with all the Atlanta Dream slander?
Okay.
Year?
Yes.
Not get off. Nas, listen, we're here now. We're both like mates, you know, kind of Australia connected. Yeah. And Dano, you know, during the season was not the biggest fan of your team.
Hold on.
Wow. Yeah.
Hold on. Hey, full transparency. I'm honest.
Yeah.
Open book. I do a lot with our betting website and content. Mm-hmm. And who was higher on the Dream preseason than me? Nobody. Wagered actual American dollars, not Canadian dollars, not the yen, any other currency. American dollars on the Atlanta Dream winning more than the projected win total. When I saw it wasn't going my way, I started to freak out a little bit. And you know, I'm an irrational sports fan. I say things. I've said a lot of bad things about the New York Liberty too lately. Let's be honest. I mean, I think the city of Uncasville has taken a lot of heat from me, but yes, I was definitely too irrational. But I'm already, I was gonna say, convince me to be back on the Atlanta Dream, but Nas, you've already done that.
Okay. All right. You can't just be swaying back and forth. Like, things get tough all around, you know?
I'm saying.
But I gotta hold you guys accountable too, right? I mean, I can't say everything's peachy.
Okay.
Unintended.
Okay, well, this is the thing. Like, you just don't get too high, don't get too low. Just right in the middle, find the sweet spot, and I think we can work that out.
Yeah. I love it.
All right, I'll be, I'll be looking out for this now.
All right. Nas made me sweat a little bit. Okay.
All right, let's
get off me real quick. We got a few more minutes. Thank you for hanging out with us so long. Nas, we are recording this on Thursday, October 5th. We have the finals starting on Sunday, October 8th. Nas, I think everyone really wanted to see this. Maybe not. We got the two so-called super teams. I mean, you've obviously played against both. What is it that is that makes these teams so hard to beat?
I mean, they have superstars on their team.
It's just that simple.
I mean, just a tough caliber of players. I mean, from top to bottom, offensively and defensively, who just make a difference. And it's a collective. I mean, it's not just, you know, one player from each team who you just know, you know, is going to have to carry all the weight. But if they need to, they can. So it's just like that. That's just such a huge difference, I feel like, for those two teams compared to some others where it's like, okay, well, our leading scorer isn't our leading scorer tonight. That's fine. Next up. And it's not just, okay, two, it's three and four and five, you know? So it's just, that's a huge difference for those two teams. But I mean, individually, in terms of, I mean, New York, they just have, I mean, a bench. I feel like that really makes a difference for them. Mm-hmm. So when their starters need that blow, they can have it and not necessarily feel a drop off. Where on the Vegas side, they don't necessarily have that, but their stamina, I mean, it usually doesn't feel like they need any subs. They just bring that fire and that intensity every single night for 40 minutes. So I'm really excited for this matchup. I'm one of those people who am excited only because I can't be in it, but you know, obviously we would have had Atlanta in that, you know, that would have been the better choice anyway. You know, in a few years or next year,
yeah,
whatever, we'll get that done. But, definitely an exciting matchup. I feel like we're a basketball fan.
What's your prediction of this series? Give it to us.
You know, I just feel like I can't even give you one. That matchup has just been so tough. Like, obviously Vegas has won some of them, but New York has won some of them pretty handily. But then also, obviously, Vegas has been running through their competition as of late. New York has had a couple of bumps, but, you know, nothing that's, you know, too much where anybody should be, you know, going off the deep end. But like I said, just really, really excited for this matchup.
It's wild to think.
I cheated it, but I didn't give you a prediction. I just wanted
whatever. To. You know, I love it. That's like, look how trained you are for the media. I mean, like Big Ten Network, like you can't let her go to Australia. You got to sign her to a huge deal. And get her in the booth. But I mean, it's hard. It's crazy. It's like your first year, you had to guard Asia and Stewie and probably AT. So, I mean, all these MVP candidates. And that's, I mean, just the growth that you've had as a player, just how mature you are about the game. It's so impressive. Really enjoyed talking to you. I mean, drag me to Atlanta next year, please. I will absolutely go to a game, see if it compares to Barclays.
Yes, it's nothing to go to Atlanta. I love it. It's a good vibe in there too. And they have the kids that had like the little drum line coming. Oh my goodness. It's like, it's amazing. So
we've got young kids drum line. We've got a older group. They're pretty awesome. Like we've got some tricks up our sleeve. So, I mean, and also not to mention the basketball, but you know, that's all part of it, obviously.
Yes.
It is a whole vibe coming to Atlanta. And you have one of my favorite broadcast teams as well.
They're so amazing, right? I mean, not to see them as much, but when I just chat, I mean, they're great.
Yeah. Shout out to Angel Gray, LaChyna Robinson, Tab Turner. They are fantastic.
Ice was telling me, like, she knows how scarred I am as a former Houstonian, by my guy James Harden behind me. She was saying we gotta replace it. I mean, it'd be too basic of me to do a New York Liberty jersey. So we're gonna make it happen. We gotta get your jersey up there.
Yes,
we'll get it signed. And instead of we'll have one picture of you playing, but I do want the picture of you holding a koala. I want it for my life. So that's my only ask for you in Australia, besides dominating on the court. Just the koala picture.
I think we can make that work. How soon are we talking that jersey? Because we gotta have the receipts. I'm gonna have to come back to this.
Okay, so. I'll order it. I'll get with Jade. We'll figure out how to send it. If I have to pay for shipping it all the way to Australia, we can do that. Because you know that's priceless to win back the grace of the Atlanta Dream for all my hate on Twitter. It's gonna stop. I'm going back to like you said, level even. Okay, we're not too high, not too low.
Not too high, not too low. That's when it gets crazy. That's when it gets crazy. And you come either crashing down or crashing up. Just right here.
That's love it.
Nas, you're amazing. Thank you so much for joining us. Safe travels on the 17-hour flight. Mm-hmm. And I hope that you really enjoy Australia. I hope that you find some awesome mates to enjoy your time with.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much for having me. I had an amazing time. So like love I said, thank you. And I'm looking forward to all the pictures and the jersey.
Yes. Thank you, Nas.